Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So if you've been watching the Major League Baseball playoffs like we have, you may have noticed that there are two kids, and I say kids in air quotes, of course, because they're much younger than we are, but they're adult men, who have connections with Kansas City, who are on the Milwaukee Brewers. So Dana and I are now cheering for the Milwaukee Brewers. They didn't do themselves any favors last night. 5-1 loss to the Dodgers. They're now down 2-0. However, one of the young men for the Brewers is a pitcher by the name of Jacob Mizierowski. And I hope I pronounced that right.
If we didn't, they just call him Miz.
Jacob Miz. And his high school baseball coach, Brian Driscoll from Green Valley, is joining us on the KMZ Hotline. Coach Driscoll, welcome.
Hi, Coach.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
So good. You must be so proud. What has this been like, watching them try to march toward the World Series?
Yeah, it's been pretty, it's hard to explain and put into words how amazing it is just to go from, you know, I was playing on the golf course at the beginning of June when Jake let me know that he was getting called up to this point now. I mean, the Brewers had an amazing turnaround, and seeing him potentially have an appearance in the World Series possibly is a pretty incredible journey.
How good was he at Green Valley?
He was pretty outstanding. So he was one of the best pitchers in the state, especially when he got to his junior year. They actually didn't play his senior year. That was COVID. We lost the season. And not only did I have him, I had several other guys that were really good. But he's probably the most dominant pitcher that I have been able to see in person in high school.
Even then, though, Coach, it is so hard to get to that level in golf or baseball or football or anywhere else. Did you really think it would happen for him?
I thought if it was going to happen for anybody, it would be him.
Yeah.
And I know I heard Dayton Moore say many years ago that number one overall draft picks, it's almost a minor miracle that they make it. They have to be healthy and have everything kind of go their way. And for him, he's had some things pop up here, there, and some struggles, but to see him persevere and do that, it doesn't surprise me, but it's been awesome to see him do.
When you watch him on television, whether it's in the playoffs or maybe, I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see him play during the regular season, do you just sit back in your couch and go, yeah, I coach that?
it's fun. There's certainly a sense of pride. I will say that, he is where he is because of the hard work and ethic that he has put in. It's not because of anything. I think any high school coach, if he had had them, he'd be in the same spot. I don't think it really has anything to do with me. I just happen to be a facilitator along his way to be able to do that. So it's certainly a little bit of pride. for me personally to be able to say that I got to watch him up close, but certainly not for his ability level, for sure.
We've had some listeners on Facebook who know his family. They just say they're all great and that Jake is a great kid to boot and on top of everything else. And someone mentioned that we would likely be watching him pitch for a long time, regardless of what happens in this series and the game tomorrow night and beyond. Do you agree with that, that he has some longevity in this game because of his power on the mound?
I do. I think he is every step from his freshman year all the way until now, he has had some form of a struggle or something that hasn't been the biggest success thing, that he has then found success in that very area. And this is, to me, is just another stepping stone. And I think he'll be even better next year and moving forward. And to go back, what you said earlier, it's spot on with his family. You know, his mom, Crystal, and his dad, Tom, are great people. And out here in Green Valley, we just got great kids and great families, and he's just another one of those. And it's definitely a blessing to have had him and his family as a part of our program. So certainly spot on with that analogy.
I have no doubt that in his junior year, you say he didn't get to play his senior year because of COVID, but his junior year, he must have been lights out. Did anybody even get a hit off of him?
They did, but it was quite rare. His last outing that we had, it didn't go great, but it was because of, really, it was probably poor coaching on my part more than anything. But I think he only gave up 11 hits that year, and I think four of them were in the last game. But he wasn't healthy completely and at his best. And he probably, before that, I think he'd only given up 7 hits in about 50 innings.
And Brian, I know that the baseball community here is a tight one. I don't know if you know the other, I think he's a 27-year-old young man that is a reliever on the Brewers team who happens to be from Park Hill. I think it's incredible we have two local kids to keep an eye on. And do we just crank out great baseball players here?
It seems to be more of a thing recently, and there's a young man that is at the University of Arkansas that graduated from Blue Springs a couple of years ago, and then there's several others. There's a kid that is in the Yankees organization that played at Liberty North, and there's several that I could probably go on. There's a lot of talent. I don't know that it was that way 15 to 20 years ago at the same level. But it's pretty wild to see that transition of where kids are. In fact, there's even another young man who's from Park Hill that's playing on the Royals right now, which I think you guys know. So,
yeah, that's right.
Definitely a lot of talent. It's been neat to you know, I've saved on to some old scorecards and stuff. So it's certainly been neat to watch.
You know, I coached youth soccer for 20 years, and I think three of the players that I ended up coaching ended up playing at university. And I was just so proud of them and so thrilled for them. I can't even remotely imagine what it must be like being a coach of a kid who has the potential, the possibility of playing in the World Series.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. It's almost a little surreal. I mean, the fun thing for me is just that you know, with the Royals not being in the series right now, I've almost become a very closet Brewers fan. I've got Brewers gear, I got Brewers hat, and we made plans the last two nights around the games to watch the game. You know, we had things that we were going to do, and we canceled those just to do it. And so it's been exciting, almost like it was in 14-15 around here.
Have you been able to see him pitch professionally?
I got to go up to his debut, and there were about 30 of us, mostly his family and really close friends. And his mom actually got shirts printed here locally, and we all wore them up there. And so I've got a photo of him, and my son went with me. And so that was certainly an awesome memory.
That's great. Well, keep us posted as things progress, and we wish them the best this season. Regardless of what happens, we're going to be cheering for him, I think, for a long time, Coach, and thank you for all the work you put in as well.
No, for sure. It's been awesome. It's even better to have a great kid that's got wonderful character as well, and I think he'll show that as well as he continues.
Right on.
Be well, Coach.
Hey, Coach, thanks for your time.
All right. Yep, thank you.
All right, be well. That's Coach Brian Driscoll with Green Valley High School. He is the coach of a pitcher, a local kid who is now, we're just going to call him Miz because I don't want to mispronounce his name, Jacob Miz, who is a pitcher, starting pitcher for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. We have another DNA clock is ticking. You can run, but you can't hide story. A discarded straw has led to murder charges in the brutal killing of a New York teenager back in 1984. 4 decades after prosecutors sent the wrong men to prison for the rape and murder of 16-year-old Long Island girl. There's three of them here. I want to get this correct. It has been 4 decades. A Nassau County grand jury today indicted 63-year-old Richard Bilodeau on 2 counts of murder in the death of 16-year-old Teresa Fusco. She disappeared after walking away from her part-time job at a roller skating rink back in November of 1984. She left the roller skating rink, Scott. They had let her go. So she left the rink to walk home. Her dad was trying to come and get her, but this is before cell phones. So she starts walking. Dad never finds her. She is not seen until weeks later when a couple 14-year-old boys out in the woods find her remains. It was absolutely awful. Three men were convicted of killing her and spent 20 years in prison for a crime we now know they did not commit. They were actually released way back in 2003. And they got $18 million for wrongful imprisonment and all those things.
Good.
Right? So fast forward to today, they have new DNA technology. They get a tip. They start following this Bilodeau. He goes to like a Smoothie King, discards his cup. They take the straw in the cup, and lo and behold, the DNA matches. He was 23 at the time.
For 41 years, he's been walking out in the open.
Yes, yes. Was 23, living with his grandparents at the time, okay? And listen to this. They knock on his door to question him before his arrest, and he makes some comment that, well, I don't really know who she was, but yeah, people got away with murder back then.
Whoa.
That was his comment.
Odd thing to say.
And from the prosecutor today, he says, well, Mr. Bilodeau, it's 2025. Your day of reckoning is now. But listen to this. Her killing at age 16, for all of the obvious reasons, drew wide attention because two other girls in that area were murdered at the same time. One of them, I think, has never been found and was a friend of hers. So
girls. Do they think we have a serial killer here?
I've been looking today to try to figure out. Obviously, they are checking to see if he is also responsible for those crimes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Two different young women. One of them was found. I believe one of them, her remains have never been found. Mm. Tick tock.
Well, it's a shame that he got away with it for 41 years, but I'm glad he's been caught.
Yep.
And you know when that knock happens at the door and they answer it and it's the police or a detective, they immediately have that feeling somewhere deep down like, well,
don't you wonder?
Thought I got away with it.
The jig is up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Don't you wonder, are they always looking over their shoulder like every time the doorbell rings, okay, finally they got me. They know about DNA now. All of these men that have gotten away with this since the OJ trial know DNA is a thing. Are they all just waiting for that knock on the door? I hope so.
I don't know.
I hope they have miserable lives waiting for that knock.
I don't know if they're waiting for that knock on the door, but I guarantee you they are. Well, I can't guarantee this. I know if I was guilty of such a heinous crime, I would tread very lightly to make sure that I'm never arrested in a situation where they would have my DNA on file.
Oh, the anxiety would kill me. Every time that I saw the cherries and berries light up my rearview mirror, I would think,
here we go.
Yep.
It's over. Well, but I think it's safe to say that the three of us would never commit such a heinous crime.
He lived a mile away. He lived a mile away from the skating rink at the time.
And the other two girls that you mentioned, does it say in the story where they went missing from?
I have right around that area. And I have been looking all day to see somebody acknowledge they are looking into a link between those. I mean, you would have to, clearly.
Here's a story. I know you have complained about this in the past. When you go to a grocery store or a retail store and they say, do you have an account on file? And it's attached to your phone number. Yeah. Listen to this story. Mm-hmm. A woman in Australia was at a store where she shared her phone number with the cashier because it was tied to her membership number. Later, she gets a creepy text from a stranger that reads, did you think that you are immune? She texted back, wrong number. Her friends were too curious and called the number, who admitted that he memorized her details and her phone number and used them as a warning to be more careful when giving out your phone number in public.
Wait a minute.
He's pretending to be
a good Samaritan. Right. Like, I'm just warning you.
Right.
I don't do it anymore.
Was he trying to slide into her DMs and that was his pickup line?
Nope. Sam, I'm telling you, there are many differences, obviously, between men and women. But one of them is you don't look over your shoulder in a parking garage like every woman does or worry about being on an elevator alone. And the other one is if someone asks you for your phone number, you might be hesitant to give it for other reasons like direct marketing things. But every woman listening has been in that moment where they're like, phone number, what's your phone number? And I'm like, I'm not going to shout out my phone number here. I write it down. And I will slide it across if they need it for legitimate reasons, not at a grocery store. And what's your phone number? I'm not doing it. It's not worth the 2 cents on the gasoline rewards. I don't even need gasoline. So don't give that number out loud.
Go ahead, Sam.
I do appreciate the systems that have you just type it into the credit card reader. I'm seeing that more and more now.
Yep.
But it's amazing to me, and I didn't even think about this till I read this story earlier today. The places where my phone number is attached to a card, if you will, and not a physical card, but you know what I mean, a membership card. For example, here's one, Suburban Lawn and Garden. And, you know, of course, I go there like a lot of people do in the spring and summer and fall, and I'll get some seed or I'll buy a plant or whatever, and I get up to the cashier, and they'll say, do you have an account with us? And I say, yes. And they say, phone number? And I just say, you know, 913, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And they're like, Scott? And I go, yep, that's me. Would you like to take advantage of your $3 off today? And I don't even think twice.
Yeah.
When I'm giving somebody, a cashier, my phone number, I don't look to see if there's somebody behind me.
No.
You know, who could technically use that as, you know, a way to potentially steal my identity. That's one of many components.
It's also the reason when women check into a hotel, the hotel proprietor, I don't care where you're staying in the world, is not supposed to say, okay, Dana, here you go. You're in room 543. Mm. They're never supposed to do that. And if you've noticed, you know, in the last few years, they've started writing it down on the inside of the card and just mm-hmm. handing it to you. And I always tell my daughters this, if you are staying somewhere and the hotel clerk says, room 912 for you, sweetheart, you say, you know what? I want you to write down a new room number. Do not take that room number. If there's people standing in line behind you, do not take the room number that they just shouted out.
I never thought about that.
No, we live in this world of crazy because there are crazy people out there.
Or maybe you were raised by Linda Wright.
No, or maybe you should tell your daughters, don't have somebody shouting out the hotel room number you're in. Like, it's just not good practice.
Statistically, it's very, very rare that one of these situations turns incredibly sour, but you don't want to be one of those statistics.
Fair point. Telephone number here is 913-586, speaking of phone numbers, 586-7798.
Give that one out.
586-7798. You can also text us at that number. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Story here from the Kansas City Star. An Overland Park woman has filed a lawsuit against Casey Pet Project this week, claiming the organization allowed her to adopt a dog with a known history of aggressive tendencies. On July 12th of 2020, the woman adopted a dog named Dartley from Casey Pet Project, according to the lawsuit that was filed this week in Jackson County. During the adoption process, the woman claimed that she made very explicit written and oral statements to staff that she did not want to adopt an aggressive dog. Additionally, the lawsuit claims that she filled out a dog adoption survey explicitly stating she would not tolerate a dog, quote, being aggressive. Staff at Casey Pet Project allegedly repeatedly gave the woman assurance that Dartley was not aggressive. On October 23rd of 2020, a few months after adopting Dartley, the woman was in her home when Dartley began to growl at the woman's daughter and her friends. Wow. The lawsuit claims that without provocation or warning, now they're calling the dog Dartley, I believe it's still Dartley, Dartley lunged toward the woman, biting her face, resulting in significant wounds and scarring. The woman says she later learned, according to the lawsuit, that Casey Pet Project had known about Dartley's aggressive and dangerous propensities and failed to disclose that behavior to her.
Okay, so listen to this. An animal review report obtained by this woman after the incident allegedly shows that Dartley had been surrendered to the Pet Project 12 days before she adopted him for, quote, behavior issues. Another entry dated July 1st, 2020, revealed Dartley's previous owner told Casey Pet Project that the dog had a propensity for growling and showing his teeth at children and men.
Ooh.
Dartley's previous owner also allegedly told Casey Pet Project the dog had been abused as a puppy. Mm. It also alleges in this lawsuit, in an observation note from the staff over there, Dartley, quote, showed his teeth and snapped at other dogs who wanted to play. He also attacked another dog, leaving two puncture wounds on that dog's ear. Okay, wow. She is seeking restitution for damages because I'm guessing she has been sued or her insurance company is being sued for the damages to the woman's face.
I think it's her face.
No, it was a woman in her home, Scott.
Now, initially, as you were reading the details of this story, my first thought was any dog is going to be skittish, especially one that has a history of abuse around new faces in their home. Barb is the sweetest dog in the world. We know for a fact that she was abused. And if you walk into my home and she has never seen you before, she will bark her head off. We keep her in the kennel when new people come in for that exact reason, because we know that attitude will come out. It's starting to sound to me like this dog was just a problem dog.
So listen to their quote. This is important, you guys, and here's why. it's one thing to say, I only want a nice dog that doesn't have any issues at all. Like, I understand you don't really know what you're going to get sometimes when you adopt an older dog. You don't really know. If, in fact, a shelter knows that the dog was surrendered for being aggressive, knows that the dog has prior incidents of being aggressive in the 12 days it was there, knows all of these things, then fails to disclose it. She has a claim here, does she not?
If she can prove it, yes. If she has
the application.
If she has the written application where she says in writing, I don't want an aggressive dog, and she can prove that the dog is aggressive or was aggressive, and then can also prove that Casey Pet Project told her the dog was not aggressive.
Oh God, this woman, and this woman had this dog around children. It lunged at another woman and bit her face.
I went back and reread it. It lunged at her.
It is her?
It is her.
Okay. Like, this is the KC Pet Project statement. Like shelters across the country, we provide all known information about every animal which adopters review, acknowledge, and sign. This is from the president over there, CEO over there. We are gravely concerned about a claim like this, not just for the Pet Project, but for all animal shelters. Because, she writes, if animal shelters become liable for the actions of animals after adoption for behavioral or medical issues the adopter was counseled on, quote, it will have a detrimental effect on animal adoptions and animal welfare nationwide. I don't dispute that, but I think if there is proof that this was known and for whatever reason not disclosed, there's a problem.
The only reason I can imagine, if this woman's law, by the way, I find it interesting that the Star does not name the woman. She is the one who has come forward with the lawsuit. In no part of this story does the Star name her.
Now, does she have kids? Does it say?
It does say.
It just says the woman was in her home
When the woman's daughter came over with her friends.
With her friends. We don't know ages or any of that.
The Star repeatedly refers to her as the woman.
My question would be, did she specifically state, I've got kids in the home, I need a dog friendly with kids?
They do, Sam, at a lot of shelters. They want to know,
yeah,
do you have a fence? I had someone try to adopt a dog, and they were successful in doing so. They wanted two letters of recommendation.
I remember when I adopted Stella. When I met Stella 15, 16 years ago, whatever it was, it was 2010, so 15 years ago, it was outside of a PetSmart. She was a little puppy. She was in a corral. And I had to go through not only an application, but she was being fostered at a really nice house in Shawnee. I had to go over there, and I sat on the floor in this home. I had never met this person in my life. And she observed me and Stella together right. for 30 minutes.
I had to do a couple of visits with Barb before we could adopt her.
Now, with Lizzie, you know, she's 4.5 years old. All we knew about her was that her first 4 years were not the best. And that it would take her time to warm up to people, to new people. Her first 4 years may not have been the best. She's living her best life now. But she warmed up to me immediately. It took 1 minute.
But to Casey Pet Project's point, you never know when a dog is going to turn.
Unless they knew. Like, if it turns out, Sam, in a case like this, let's not even make it about this case, that 12 days prior, somebody else surrendered this dog and said, look, we're afraid of this dog. It's growling at people. It snapped at us. You know, we don't know what the behavior issues was. Was the dog urinating in the house, or was it growling and snapping at people? It depends on what they knew and when they knew it. And if they knew that the dog was aggressive, and this woman specifically said, like, whatever, like, I've got two kids in the house, I cannot have an aggressive dog, and then they sign off, well, here's your dog.
But
you have to be transparent.
But let me play devil's advocate, if I may. What if the dog was not surrendered in the way that you describe? What if somebody feeling guilt, you know, it's not working out here, they just tie the dog up at the front door in the middle of the night.
Then I don't think that they're liable. But that's not what happened in this case.
We don't know that.
We do.
How do we know that?
The animal, quote, was surrendered to KC Pet Project 12 days before this woman adopted it for, quote, behavior issues. Which means, and I've...
Now, that's what they're alleging in the lawsuit. Yes. We don't know that as a fact, but I understand where you're going.
I have known cases where you try to surrender an animal for whatever reason, and man, do they ask you, why? What are you doing? Why? Tell us everything about this, because they want to know so that this doesn't happen, right?
But if the dog is aggressive, here's what I don't understand. Let's say that everything in this lawsuit is fact, okay, which we don't know, but let's just, for the sake of the argument, let's go with everything in this lawsuit is fact, okay? If we know that the dog is aggressive based on the previous owner's testimony, why would you not, and I don't say this lightly, why would you not just put the dog
down? Why would you not euthanize the dog? I'm going to read this sentence again. It's important. An entry dated July 1st revealed Dartley's previous owner told KC Pet Project the dog had a propensity for, quote, growling and showing his teeth at children and men, according to the lawsuit. So they are alleging they have paperwork in quotations that says these things happened 12 days prior when the dog was surrendered.
So I go back to my original argument.
Why not euthanize the dog?
Because for two reasons. One of two reasons. Number one, nobody wants to adopt an aggressive dog.
Okay? I agree.
Nobody does. And if you end up adopting that dog and you don't tell the full story, look where we are now 5 years later. You're getting sued.
Well, she has a chunk out of her face as well,
right? I understand, but what I'm saying is, why wouldn't you just put the dog down?
I agree. For no other reason than we don't want the liability. Mm-hmm. We cannot promise you, with this dog's history, noted history of aggression, we cannot promise you this dog is not going to display similar behaviors when you take it home.
And the dog doesn't like kids.
Well, but again, the point I was trying to get at earlier is you could have the sweetest dog in the world, and it's a case-by-case basis. These are wild animals. They might be domesticated, but they're wild animals. Just look at their teeth, right? So you could have the sweetest dog in the world, and something trips it, and it flips to become the most aggressive dog in the world. Or you could have a dog that's not in the right setting, and so it is aggressive. It is sharp. It is quick to react.
It feels threatened.
Yeah. And if you put it in that proper setting, it becomes the sweetest fluff ball in the world. So I can't see how KC Pet Project would be liable here.
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798 on Dana and Parks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798. Art in Lee's Summit. Art, good afternoon. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, I just want to kind of, you know, add some stuff to your all's information. Now, I did volunteer work for one of the rescue groups locally from about 2008 to 2020, and I did the home interviews for people who wanted to adopt any of the rescue dogs that my group represented. Now, because of the fact that we sort of specialized in German Shepherds, there was a whole series of questions I had to get answered while I was at the property. Had they ever had a dog like this before? Are they familiar with the, you know, like the different, you know, traits of the breed? But again, it really is about training the owner, not the dog. I mean, the people have to realize what they're getting into. They have to know that, as I said, many of these dogs who had been surrendered because, for one reason or another, it didn't work out with their previous owners. Now, some of that could have been as silly as someone redecorating their house and didn't want to have the dog here in the house anymore. So, but it always comes back to a long, very detailed interview and basically finding out how much the people who are adopting are willing to, you know, make the concessions necessary.
Is it true, Art, that the German Shepherd is the number one most surrendered dog in America?
Yes. Probably the Pit Bull, I would think, might exceed the German Shepherd. But the German Shepherd, people get it for all the wrong reasons. They get it because it's a prestige name, it's a specialty breed, that they automatically believe that this dog's going to come in, you know, like intelligent, like Ren 10-10. Yeah. Well, the first thing I say in an interview is, just remember one thing. I've met very, very few really stupid dogs, but I've met so many stupid owners, because you get the dog you make.
Hmm. All right. By the way, Pit Bull is the number one surrender dog. Lizzie is half Pit Bull.
Is Shepherd number two? Libby told me once, I swear, that the
Labrador
number one...
Retriever is number two.
Really?
German Shepherd is number three.
Huh. Okay.
Chihuahua is number four because they're so annoying.
Yeah.
And Huskies is number five.
It's funny you mention that, because a lot of people look at the Labrador Retriever and the Golden Retriever as the perfect family dog, when in reality, they happen to carry the most aggression. Does it change things if we highlight the fact that this dog was in that home for 3 months before it snapped?
No, I think it makes it worse.
Well, is that to suggest that her daughter and her friends had never come over for 3 months?
No, not at all. I because she says without provocation and inexplicably, it just happened. Because if I had gone and said, I don't want an aggressive dog, and then in week three or week five or week seven, it was growling and showing its teeth, that dog would have been taken immediately back.
But who walks in and says, I want an aggressive dog?
Well, nobody. But if she specifically said she didn't.
Isn't that presumed? That everybody wants a a loving, fun, little goofy dog?
I don't know.
Let's go to Sharon in Grandview. You get the last word. Hello.
I think you mean Sharon.
Oh, go ahead. Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, so I've actually fostered through the Casey Pet Project and adopted, and they put you through a behavior class. Their behavior team actually meets with anybody that adopts a dog and says, don't make any, you know, let the first 3 days are important. Don't, you know, let the dog chill and kind of come accustomed. And then 3 weeks, you're getting to know each other. And then 3 months, you've pretty much known the dog. And so they have that philosophy, but they take these dogs out. They walk these dogs. If they had seen aggression, they would mark that down. Because I've had some fosters. I had one specifically that was aggressive. And, you know, you could turn your hand one way and it would be fine, but if you turned it the other way, if you had it to where you were going to have the dog smell your hand, that dog went on the offensive and attacked.
Oh, gosh.
So,
you don't know where the dogs come from in most situations with these, and you don't know what sets them off. But usually, if there's kids in the house, they will say, we want everybody to meet this dog before you take it home. Everybody that's going to live in the house needs to meet this dog.
Okay. All right. Hey, appreciate the call.
Animals need good homes.
Yep.
If I had to jump through 50 hoops to rescue an animal, I'm moving on. Somebody else with more time and more energy gets to rescue that animal.
Well, but sometimes they're worth it. Stella was worth it. All the trouble that I had to go through to get her.
Barb is worth it.
Yeah.
She had mentioned specific triggers, and it's very, very sad. It's indicative of the abuse that she probably took in her younger years. But if I move my leg too quickly and I'm too close to Barb, she freaks out because she thinks I'm trying to kick her.
Oh, that's so sad.
That makes me sad. She freaks out.
And I'm like, it's okay. I'm sorry. I'll move slower.
Dan's got the news coming up in 2 minutes here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.